But heaven is asking one question. Did you know God? Did you walk by faith? Did you serve your generation according to the purposes of God?
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, May 24th, 2026, Memorial Day weekend. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, How Will You Be Remembered? And our text comes to us from John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
We honor those who've served in the military, and we respect that, and we thank the Lord for what they're doing today. Today, aside from politics, men and women are risking their lives, and we need to continue to pray for them. And today is Memorial Day, and actually tomorrow, Memorial Day. And I have a text that I'd like to share with you and address one question. And the question that I have for you is, how will you be memorialized? How will you be remembered? How do we remember the armed forces? How do we remember those who gave their life? So our text today is in John chapter 1. And let's see if we can see it in the screen. And it says, verse 10, He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. Though he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And here it is. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Those of us who are believers are born of God. And as children of God, how are we going to be remembered? What will be the memory that you will leave behind? It's so important to think about it, because memorials today exist because it matters. God memorializes not successful lives, but lives that knew him and walked by faith with him. You and I will carry memory to our children's children simply because of the way in which we have developed our sonship, daughtership. How have we believed and how have we moved as children of God? Tomorrow, we pause, and flags are going to be raised. Families are going to visit cemeteries. Stories will be told. Names and gravestones will be remembered. And all of this is important because memory matters. It's very important to remember. Every culture asks this question, who deserves to be remembered? I was taken some months ago as I was writing a book, The Importance of Memory, and there's this song, I hope you will not misunderstand my song, it's called Memory. And as they sing, they say, all alone in the pavement, has the moon lost his memory? It's the opera by Wright Katz. And the whole idea is, have I been forgotten? Do I really matter? Will I be in anybody's memory agenda? Well, Scripture says that, yes, we will be remembered. But how does God remember our life? For I think being remembered by God is the key to living today. Hebrews 11 is heaven's memorial wall. When you open your Bible, you read in chapter 11, by faith, Abel. Again, by faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. What is striking in this list of Hebrews 11 is not simply why they appeared in the list. It is striking that they do appear. And when you read 11, you find out, Hebrews 11, you find out that Scripture does not say at any moment, we remember them because they were successful. You don't find that. You don't find any one of these heroes of the faith that they were remembered because they were wealthy. Not even influence. They were not the so-called influencers of today. It simply says, by faith. So it was by faith that they were remembered. It was faith that matters. It was making a commitment to something or someone bigger or greater than themselves. So when we look at faith, we ask the same question. How can faith be part of my agenda? How can faith be part of my life? And as you look at Scripture, you find that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And faith, it turns out to be, is a lot more than just simply information. Faith is much more than simply agreeing with something or someone. We could define faith in your life and my life as applied knowledge. Hearing God and living it through in such a way that we believe it is actually true. That what God says is true, and therefore we're going to live that out. Three words. You need to hear it, you need to trust it, and you need to live it. That's faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is God speaking to you and you following through on what he has spoken to your heart, what he has spoken in the words of Scripture. So let's look at this gentleman who, and there were women as well, but I mentioned gentlemen this morning. We find Noah heard. And what did he do? He said, oh, great, he wants me to build an ark. Oh, well, someday. No, he built an ark. Moses heard. And what did he do? He returned from the desert back to a place where execution could have been the end. Abraham also heard. And what did he do? He left. He did what God wanted him to do. See, faith does not or should not just simply remain in your mind. It needs to carry on to life. Knowledge, knowing God, moves into life action. It's not just, oh, isn't that a great idea? Well, it's a great idea, but it's meaningless unless you put it in action. I'm sure a lot of you know about Bible stories in the Bible. If I were to ask you, what's your favorite story? Some of you would say David and Goliath. Others would say, well, what would you say? Shout out the name of a Bible story that you remember. Go ahead. What is it? Oh, gosh. Especially this line that when I collected the offering, they just showed me the phone. Okay. It's true. I mean, what is the story you remember? That's wonderful. But I'm telling you, Hebrews 11 is not a memorial of informed people. It's not just remembering what God has done or can do. It is a memorial of transformed people through obedience. Because you get to know God and then you act on what God says. That's faith. John 17:3 says something very important. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples. The Olivet Discourse, wonderful chapters of the Bible. It's the last discourse that Jesus gives. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. And this idea of eternal life, that they may know you, is so important because Jesus did not say eternal life is merely believing certain things. He said eternal life is knowing God. Wow. Personally knowing God, intimate relationship with God, an approximation of your soul to God, not just an idea or a concept to be thought of, but an idea and a concept to be acted upon. That's why faith comes that way. See, knowing about somebody, something is important, but the idea of actually getting to see them in action and to experience their movements, to see how they come through, it makes a big difference. You know, I can know a lot of things about Abraham Lincoln. I do. But I don't know Abraham Lincoln. I faith is impossible for me to have in Abraham Lincoln, because the only way I could have faith in Abraham Lincoln is to establish a relationship. And the only way that you and I can actually develop faith is by establishing a relationship with the one who spoke the word. Faith is acting on what we know, because we know the one who speaks. You know God. And because you know him, you understand God speaking to your heart. You act on those words. See how personal this is? See how direct this is? See how it's you and God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. When you actually understand what God is saying to your heart and you act upon it, that's faith. Knowing that God will do that, which at this moment you don't even see it with your eyes, but by acting on what he has said, there is the fruit of your faith. Not just a concept. Abraham trusted because he knew God. Noah obeyed because he knew God. And Moses returned, as we said before, because he knew God. And you and I must develop this faith that acts, not just what the Bible says. Oh, I know the Bible. I study the Bible. So what? I say that with great respect. You have to live the life of the Bible. You have to put it into practice. You have to carry it out. Some of us know the Bible and live under terrific conviction because you have not put the Bible into action in your life. You know what you should do. And yet somehow, some way, you don't act. And that's lack of commitment to the word that God has spoken to your heart and to your life. So I am saying to you this morning the very important thing. How will you and I be memorialized? How are we going to be remembered? How? Someday, someone will stand next to your photograph. Stories are going to be told. And people will remember you for a little while. Achievements come and go. But heaven is asking something completely different. Heaven is not interested necessarily on the stories that you've done or the photographs that you've taken. But heaven is asking one question. Did you know God? Did you walk by faith? Did you serve your generation according to the purposes of God? That's what Acts 13:36 says. David served his generation, and then he died. He was remembered as one who served his generation. And the wonderful thing about serving God and serving your generation is that you will be remembered, and you will be a person who will influence generations to come, not because of your wealth, but because of your faith and commitment to God. People said, he, she believed in God and lived it out. And we remember that you lived out those blessings that God promised upon your life. So, in closing, because, you know, I'm preaching small messages. You guys have heard so many things already. Chapter 11 of Hebrews talks about the great faith, memorial wall of faith. But chapter 12 says the following. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, since you have seen in chapter 11 all the men and women who died believing God because they knew God. They carried out the promises of God in their lives. It just did not remain simply as a good idea, but they understood that this was a life, one walking expectancy of God, that as God spoke to your heart and you carried it out, God will bless you. When you remember the great witnesses like Abraham, and you read the story of Abraham and what he did. You read the story of Moses and what he did. You read the story of Rahab and what she did. You read David and you see what he did. Then you find that they have a memorial not of stone, a memorial of life. And where you are, you live out that promise of God in your life, and you're living by faith. Faith is acting on what you know God has spoken to your heart. Believing that God will carry it through. Let's take your marriage. How many have a bump in your marriage? Would you like to have some advice from Brother and Sister Morataya? They did it for 50 years and they're still going on. They're going to Hawaii. How do you live 50 years? I'm sure they never had a quarrel. Of course, but in the midst of the quarrels, in the midst of the difficulties, two people living together for 50 plus years, I tell you, it's God that helps you because you put into practice what God has spoken to you. We've been 55 in July, counting my chickens before they hatch. That's okay, just a couple of more months. 55, how did we do it? Because we put the Lord first in our lives. And we never had a disagreement that I did not say, it's okay, honey, you go your way, you know. So, there's so many ways in which you can resolve the issue when the Lord is there actively in your heart. In business issues, it is what the Lord says. In school issues, it's what the Lord says. You put into practice in your marriage, in your life, in the workplace, and in every situation, the Lord is first, and you allow God's word to resolve the issue. End of argument. Well, you and I need to run the race to be remembered correctly. You've got to be remembered right. And you need to run your race. And this is Memorial Day weekend, and we want to remember you as running the race, as living for God, as applying God's word to your life. In the small details of life, that's where it really hinges. Not in the big issues, but the small issues, because life is made up of small issues put together. Hear his voice. Hear what he has to say to you. Live out the voice that God says to you. Live for him. How will you be memorialized? How will you be mirrored? How will people think of you? What will they say about you? Well, maybe it's even more profound this morning. What story of faith are you writing today? How are you living today? How? Are you living for God? Are you making excuses for not listening to God's word? Are you somehow, in some way, thinking you can outsmart God? You think that somehow, some way, you have a better answer than God has in his word. And the marvelous thing about God's word is that it speaks to your heart and to your life in ways that nobody else can. I cannot do that. The closest friend of yours cannot do that. But God knows the secrets of your heart. And everything is disclosed before him. And there's nothing that you do or think that he does not know. And in God's presence, you must ask the Lord, Lord, how can I best serve you? How can I live by faith? Faith is the commitment that I have to live out the word that I have heard from you. Actually, the word that I've heard from you, it's what God says. It's what God speaks to in every area of our lives. Let me tell you something happened years ago. We were in the process of trying to make this place bigger. Somehow I'm thankful it didn't happen. But anyway, we were praying that it would be bigger, that is physically bigger. And we were fighting with the state, the city especially. And they invoked some state codes. And anyway, the widening of the boulevard and all kinds of things that went on. But I remember that we needed a certain amount of money to finish off the nursery, because we felt, as I still do today, that our nursery is very small. And there was this plan to build where the water fountain is, a two-story building, where we would have a much larger kitchen area and a second floor that we could have classes. And we had the stairways, and we had this, and we had that. It was beautiful. I still have the blueprints in my office, though I don't look at them because but they're there. Paid the architect and this and that and the other. But we came to that moment, and the church was packed. We used to have three services on Sunday. And Loretta remembers all of this. The quantity of people here, choir full here, this, that, the other. And we needed $60,000 to meet the money so that we could get a loan from, and a grant also from our district. And we had raised money, but we still needed 60. I think it was 62, but let's say 60. And I said, brothers, today is the day. that the Lord has made. We need $60,000. And everybody forgot the day they were living. And I remember so clearly because I said, this is do or die. If we don't get this today, and we have been working this thing for months, actually for a year and a half. Well, the money didn't come in. It didn't come in, and so I called my supervisor, says the money didn't come in. He says, well, we'd like to help you, but we can't, blah, 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 whatever it is. And we were not able to build. And I often felt that someone in the congregation was not listening to God. See, when God speaks to you and challenges you, and you say no to God, you stop everything. And God did not overrule that person's will. Move 15 years after that fact, I encountered this person who was not well off at that moment, but he told me, I had the money, but I gave it to somebody else. And then he looked at me clearly and says, no, I didn't give it to anybody. I kept it. And he had to use that for medical expenses. He had to use that for other things that, you know, could have come anyway. But the fact is, the Lord spoke to him and his life became miserable. Now, I'm not saying that you need to give $60,000 today, but if you have it, make sure you do that. One thing, that God speaks to you in certain ways to do his will. I turned out the man used to have had all kinds of businesses in the city of Montebello, and I did not know anything because I don't get into anybody's personal business. I know, never have, never will. But when God speaks to you, you've got to respond to him because it has consequences on your walk with faith. So is the area of finances. In the area of your marriage, you need to make friends with your wife. You need to make friends with your husband. In children, you need to be friends with your parents, and parents, you need to be a friend to your children. There's got to be a relationship that matches God's word. Anyway, how will you be remembered? How will you be memorialized? See, I said it, memorialized. How will people think of you? Did you live by faith? It's not the wealth you leave behind. It's how you live for God. It's how you lived according to the light of God in your heart, how you carried it out. So what story of faith are you writing today? How will you be remembered? You will be remembered by your actions in the presence of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So Lord, teach us to know you, not just about you, not merely know you by words, but teach us to hear your voice and to live what we hear. Lord, may our lives become memorials of your grace. And may we serve our generation according to your will. Lord, you gave us power to become the children of God. We have within ourselves your presence and the power that pushes us to that place that we can live lives that people will remember us for your glory. Lord, you called us to be light and salt, that people will see our good works and glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Spirit within me, creating me a clean heart.
So I, when I would think back on messages about the faith and movement and how you ask God to touch you and you get a thrill and you lift your hands and sometimes people are prayed for and they're slain the spirit and they do this and they do that. And then they go home and everything is forgotten. The thrill of your life is to follow through when God speaks to your heart. Get the thrill, lift up your hands, draw on the floor, whatever you want to do, but then live out the faith. That's the key that sustains you. That's the key that sustains you. I want to be remembered that way. As someone who forgot words in the pulpit, who would call her Tori when it should be Terry. It's inconsequential. Is how I live my life, not just on Sunday morning, but in a few hours, and on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday. It gets heavy Thursday. I got school. I got to teach. Oh, dear God, help me. Then Friday, then Saturday, otra vez aquí con ustedes. That's the life that we're called to live every single day for the glory of God. Anyway, hallelujah. Amen. This is the day what?
That the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in him.
The operative word is rejoice, huh? Rejoice. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.